He does exceedingly, exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or all that you can ever think. The God factor works this way, though, according to the way you ask and the way you think. What is asking? Asking is when you place a demand, either verbally, or I place a demand on my iPad. Many of you have droids, many of you are iPad people. You place a demand on it every time you make a call. You're asking it to do what it's qualified to do. We make ask every day in life. You ask your wife for certain things. You ask your husband for certain things. You ask your kid for certain things. You don't ask something to do what it cannot do. I wouldn't ask God to make me fail because there's no failure in God. I ask him to do what he's qualified to do. Then it says ask and think. Think is the way you imagine. Think is the way you picture. You know what? I feel like God is about to turn some of your dreams, your nightmares, into a dream. Many of you, Satan has tormented you. You're having nightmares that this is not going to work out, that's not going to work out. God's about to flip it. God's about to reverse it. And of everything that you dreaded, God is about to cause it to be a dream that you never imagined, because he's going to change the way you think in this season. Thinking is the way you process things. And it works according to the power that is in you. According to means that things flow according to the way a thing is wired. Let me help you make sense with this. I was riding down the road, and I have the ability to hold on to things to the last minute. I have to work on letting stuff go. Well, I have the cell phone charger in my car, and the cell phone charger, anybody ever had that charger that it didn't work really good, and you found a way to twist your phone, turn your phone? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. The wires are exposed, and you won't throw it away. We're riding down the road. We're driving to Texas, and I'm trying to get this charger to work, and I got the phone turned flip side. I got to turn this way. I said, no, somebody moved. I said, no, my phone ain't charging. And the Holy Spirit said, look in the back seat. Isaiah was in the back seat, leg propped up, just laid out, and he had his charger plugged into the thing. He wasn't flipping it. He wasn't maneuvering it. He wasn't doing anything else. And the Lord said, Jason, that's what many people's life is like. The problem is not the power. The problem is the wiring. And he said, I want to change the way you ask things. I want to change the way you think, so that you're not just rigging your life up, robbing Peter to pay Paul, just getting through one situation to the next. God said, I'm going to change the way you process things, because the power of God has to flow through you unhindered. Yes, sir. What hinders the flow of the power? The hinder is fear, bitterness, negative thinking. All those things hinder this. Watch this. Who's got a cell phone in here? Wave your cell phone at me in here. Do you know that the same power that's running that light bulb, the same power that's running this microphone right now, that's causing me to be heard all around the world, well, in this room, not around the world, is the same power running your cell phone. The same power that powered Bill Gates into whatever he's doing and whatever a successful person is at work in you, but you have to get your wiring right in order to let the power flow. Oh, yeah. You can't make moves in this year until you believe the right thing and get your wiring correct. You got to start thinking the way God wants you to think. You have to have the mindset that is set that, God, I'm not a victim, and I'm not going to think negative. I'm going to ask in faith, and I'm going to quit talking negative, and you're going to see the power flow through you greater than what you can ever imagine. I'll close with this before I set up my next part of my sermon. I have this tendency. All of us in here have issues. Anybody have issues in here? Let your neighbor say, you got them too. I have this issue that I am a world-class, world champion worrier. I've been doing it my whole life. I'm good at it. Some of you are good at what you do. Some of you fight. Some of you cuss. Some of you just get an attitude. We all have these issues we're working on. And every day I have to tell God, let me get out of worrier. But the opposite side of that, guess what one of my gifts is? One of my gifts is the gift of faith. So for every great thing God does in your life, Satan wants to set you up with the opposite, which is the opposite of worry is faith. If you can worry, you can have faith. Worry is nothing more than meditating the problem. Faith is meditating the purpose and the answer of God in your life. So here is what happens. Whenever my wiring gets off, worry gets the best of me. If you'll notice, I don't preach with a whole lot of scriptures, which I think you should preach with a lot of scriptures. But for me, I take a scripture and I pull everything out of that scripture for what it is. I pull it out line, word by word. Now unto him. Who is him? God. God is able. There's ability in God. God has all the resources, all the authority and power that you'll ever need to do Exceeding abundantly. It didn't say exceedingly and abundantly. It said exceeding abundance. Abundance is when you got a little money at the end of the check that you can go do whatever. God exceeds that abundance according to you, how you ask or think. That's my wiring. The wiring is like that charger. So I begin to, this is how I unpack a scripture. Now on the flip side of that, I can take a little problem and have a little knot in my throat and research it on WebMD. And by the time I get finished, I have a cancer that only one person has ever had. And I'm not really even sure they had it, but I know I got it. Because worry will tell you that the worst thing is going to happen. But faith is the flip side. Faith says, everybody says it cannot happen, but with God, all things are possible. Can you see how you got to flip your wiring? And in 2018, you're going to flip your wiring. Here's what we're going to do. The scripture says this. Can you pull the scripture back up? Ephesians 3 and 20. I'm having challenges up here. Ephesians 3 and 20 says this. Now unto him who was able to do immeasurably more than, somebody say we. That scripture does not say I. In 2018, you're going to make we power moves. God's going to connect you to the right connections. And y'all going to, those connections are going to do powerful things. So I decided not to preach my sermon by myself today. I've got 10 power moves that you're going to make in 2018. And I got five speakers who are just members of this congregation, who the Lord just laid on my heart, who have various gifts and abilities. And they're going to talk to you about 10 power moves. These power moves, you're going to inspire. You're going to be innovative. You're going to use your instinct. You're going to institute things in your life. You're going to interrogate things to see if they're valid. You're going to investigate things. You're going to be involved in the right things. You're going to invest in the right things. And finally, you're going to have initiative. And then you're going to have intensity in whatever you do. There are five speakers that are getting ready to come. And God said, we're going to treat them like they're in the greatest auditorium ever. Can y'all do that for me? I want you to make them feel like we're in the Taj Mahal. You know, I was sitting there thinking before I bring them up, I said, God can do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or think. I go to a lot of MTSU ball games. And while I was sitting in there one day, the Lord said, Jason, I want you to see more than a basketball game. Y'all, I'm believing God that one year we're going to move the closer from here to Murphy Center. And I'm believing we're going to pack that thing. Y'all not happy with me? Now, don't be no hater now. Now you're fine. Barbara Scales is going to come first. Barbara is the director of the Jew Anderson Center for Women. She's a non-traditional student. She's a curriculum writer. She's a trainer. And you're going to see that side of her come out. After Barbara comes, you have Darian Horn. He's going to come. Darian Horn is a State Farm owner agent there. And he's also just ventured in. He's got his own Subway now. Say, Darian got a Subway now. After that, Brooke Scott, she's going to come up. Brooke is a project manager at Caterpillar. She has just, her mind is phenomenal the way it works. Next, you got Michael Scott. He's going to come up. He used to be an extra on Good Times, but they let him go. No, he didn't. That's not little Michael from Good Time. Michael used to be a pharmaceutical sales rep. Now he has his own business called Hot and Mighty. He makes a powerful barbecue, but he understands sales and how to connect. And finally, we have Tyler Sturban. Tyler's new around here. Tyler's been in student ministry for like the past 4 or 5 years. He's got an incredible mind. Right now, he's helping us out at the church, and he's also in sales of medical equipment. And you're going to be blessed by these five people. So let's receive them as they come at this time.
Yeah. new comes something old. What do you mean by that, Barbara? Well, let me tell you this. There was a man called Timothy Hoffman in 1971. He was sitting in Intel Corporation as an employee. And he was sitting in this room, and in this room came a Japanese manufacturer. And as he came in, he began to talk to them about all these concepts that he wanted inside a calculator. And inside this calculator, there was several different functions that he wanted, but inside those functions, it's gonna take 10 different chips to do so. He looked and he saw all of the processes, the old processes, the old ways of doing things, and he said, I can come up with a new idea to make it one chip. So he went back to his office, and I'm telling you, he began to work really hard. And he began to put it all together. And months later, Tim Hoffman came with a one-chip calculator that did all the functions that 10 could have done. Because he looked at the old processes, but he came up with new ideas and concepts, and he said, I could do it better. Now let me tell you, because of his newness and not just doing with the old, he came up with later microprocessors, you remember that? And now computers that we have today. All because he looked at something old, but came up with something new.
Yes.
And the next part of this recipe includes this. You know, Hoffman could have looked at the old, and he could have looked at it, and he could have said, oh, okay, I see that. I'm going to go ahead with that concept. But he did not. He just did not look, because the look asked why. Why does that happen? Why does that do that? Why does that go on? And you do need that as well. But he wanted to see beyond. So you got to not just look at the situation, but you want to see beyond the new concepts, right? That brings new concepts, new ideas. Matter of fact, let me tell you this. I was sitting in a meeting, just like Tim Hoff was, and we were looking at all the data when it comes to bystander education. And we looked at all the data when it comes to gender-based violence on a university campus. And everybody in that meeting was talking about, we want to come up with a new concept. We want to come up with, let's look at this data, and let's see, can we do another programming, and let's see, can we do, you know, other events in order to teach our students about how to be active bystanders. And I sat there and I looked, but then I began to see beyond. And I began to see and I began to say, I know how to write curriculum. And because I'm a doggone good curriculum writer, I'm gonna write a curriculum. And I sat there and I began to do research and I began to write this curriculum called Be the Power of One. Now we have trained thousands of students on Be the Power of One at our campus on how to be active bystanders in gender-based violence in our community and outside. But let me tell you, we want to see even further than that. We said, you know what, this is going really good here, but we want to take it even further. So now what we're going to do, we're going to write a grant because we want to change the narrative when it comes to bystander education. And in October, because we saw beyond, we received a $300,000 grant just to change the narrative. So don't just look, see beyond. The next thing is to the recipe, is you want to understand the power of inspiration. It's a wonderful thing. Now let me tell you, I believe that inspiration and innovation are relatives. They kin folks, bro. They hang out together. They go to the club. No, okay, I don't go to clubs together. But they hang out together. They go to tea and they drink. And this is the thing. I truly believe that innovation, listen to this, is the heartbeat of inspiration. And inspiration breeds innovation. What do you mean by that? Have you ever went to a movie or read a good book and your mind just gets to think about all these new concepts and ideas, all because you was in a place of inspiration? You began to innovate new ideas and concepts. That's what that does. I want to encourage you today to get into that place where you find and you channel your inspiration channel. Where you can say, I go to a movie, I read a good book, I actually sit and have conversations, and because I have those conversations, my mind is going, and now I have the heartbeat of inspiration, and I'm breathing out all these new concepts of innovation. I want to challenge you to do that. But I just don't want you to leave here to be inspired to innovate. I also want you to leave here and to go inspire. That means grab somebody that you know has something within them that they want to do. Grab some processes or grab some bodies and grab a cause and say, I'm going to push them to become the best them that they can become. I want you to go and inspire people to become the best them that they can become and innovate just like you're going to innovate. I want to challenge you today to take on the heartbeat of inspiration so that you can breathe out new concepts and ideas of innovation.
Barbara Scales. Next to the stage, we have Mr. Darian Horn.
Nope. That's good. All right, do this for me. Repeat after me. I have everything on the inside of me that I need to live to my fullest potential.
He's bringing it to me.
Right now, because God gave it to me.
I thought you were going to help
her. All right, that's all. I know I sound like homie. Can I have you repeat a bunch of stuff that you can't remember? Anyway, so listen. If you want to make a power move in 2018 and you want to operate at your fullest potential, there's some key things that you're going to have to get now. All right, one is instinct. What is instinct? Instinct is your natural ability, your gift. You know, what is God giving you that's better than the people that you know? And I'm not talking about a jump shot or a golf swing. I mean, but what has God given you that will generate income that's better than anybody else? Let me give you an example. I have an uncle, well, a great uncle. This dude can flip a profit doing just about anything. If he don't understand that, he understands how to make money. I'm 40 years old, and I know you don't believe it, but I'm 40. And I've seen my uncle work probably 2 weeks in his life. But he's always got money, and he's always got extra because he understands a concept. He understands how to take what he's good at and make it profitable. So there's three things that Bobby Horn can do better than anybody else, and you can debate me on this, right? He can cut some grass, all right? So everybody who lived in my neighborhood across the street from the projects, they knew that our lawn was going to be better than anybody else's, and if they walked on the grass, Bobby was going to shoot at them, all right? So he could cut some grass. Two, he could put up some Christmas lights. So before Christmas lights was a thing and there was these fancy light shows, he was already there, and he was making money. He had people lined up for Bobby to come do his lights, right? So he always made money doing that. And I know this is not going to make sense to a lot of y'all, but brother could do some taxes, right? All of his clients were paid. Well, until the IRS came to do that audit thing. But he could do taxes. So but the point I'm trying to make is we owe it to ourselves, our families, our church, the world around us to find out what we're gifted at. And not only that, what makes us come alive. All right, so there's a scripture that really, really blesses me. It's 2 Peter 1:3. And I'll read the, can you put that up, please? I'll read the NIV version first. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for godly life through our knowledge of Him and of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. King James Version, what's behind me, says, According as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So here's what I need you to understand. God has already put on the inside of each and every one of us not only what you need to live a godly life, but what you need to dominate the life that you're in, what you need to dominate the field that you're in. He's already equipped you to be the best and to turn a profit doing it and to change the world around you doing it, right? So you should start by asking yourself two questions. One, what am I better at than most? Two, what actually makes me come alive? Can you pull that book quote I have? There's a book called Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. And and this quote knocked me off my feet because at that time I was trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to do with my life? It says, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and do that. Because what the world needs are people who are alive. Have you ever walked into an establishment that the people are alive? You ever been to a Chick-fil-A? Like the people who work in Chick-fil-A, they find the people who come alive when they help people. They want to help you. They're like, hey, here's your order. You want Polynesian with that? Okay, you good on gas money? You good? Can you get back to the office? Right. So your battery low, you need me to help you with that? I saw you, you know, it might be the starter. I'll come out on my break. So they have an anointing. They have a gift to help people. Have you ever went into a doctor's office and everybody in there was alive? I mean, everybody made you feel better. They were empathetic. They listened to you, what's going on with your body. Here's what you need to do. In my experience, this. In my experience, that. But on the other side of the token, have you ever been into a place where everyone was dead, a doctor's office? You feel worse than you did when you got there because they treat you like trash. Look, I'm here to pay you money. Help me feel better, right? So, and by the way, dead things don't grow. So whatever you're involved in, be alive, okay? All right, the second thing is institute. Once you figure out what am I better at, once you figure out what makes me come alive, you need to put it in place, right? Pastor always uses this quote that I love. It says, opportunities of a lifetime must be seized in a lifetime of an opportunity, right? God's opened that door, so what are you afraid of? He's put it in you to dominate, so what are you afraid of, right? So now that you know what you need to be doing, Go ahead and pull the trigger on it. All right? So, and look, I can relate to being a little bit concerned, like, do I really need to take this passion of mine and turn it into something special and rely on it for my income? I understand that. Look, I've got a family. It's four of us, and we all like to eat, right? But you cannot let that deter you from operating in what God's given you to put inside you to do. There's one more scripture I have to share with you. Deuteronomy 8:18 says this, but remember the Lord your God. Bear with me just a second. I'm sorry. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce well and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is to this day. So he's put that thing on the inside of you, and he said, hey, you can do it. You can use that gift to produce well. You know, a lot of people try to hide behind, you know, well, I'm just going to wait on God. I don't know if it's the right. So I don't do that. I don't do that at all. That's not how I've become successful, right? If a door opens, I'm going to examine it to see, okay, will this be good for me and my family financially? Does this align to the things that, does this align with what makes me come alive? Can I be alive doing this? Can I bring value to this place, right? And then, I'm going to pray. I'm going to say, God, what do you want me to do? If I don't hear anything, I'm going to talk to my wife, who has this sensor built in her head to let me know exactly if something is stupid and it won't work, right? And if I still don't hear anything, I'm okay, God, in faith, I'm gone. Because this is an opportunity. I will not let it pass me by. And if it is not your will, then kill it, right? But if not, you already know I'm gone, all right? So I challenge you, operate in instinct, find out what you're good at, and institute, right? Put it into practice and don't be scared, right? Listen to that gut feeling you have, because it just might be God and not what you ate last night.
Amen. Let's give it for Darian Horn. Coming to the stage now is Miss Brooke Scott. All right, Brooke.
Make sure y'all. Okay. All right, we're going to pass the slides on today. So I want you to imagine you're on European vacation. You're in Paris, atop the Eiffel Tower. It's a perfect day, not a cloud in the sky. It's a serene moment. You get a thought. I should go start that restaurant business I've always wanted. I know this is God talking to me. So I'm going to act. I'm ready. So the next day you get on the plane, vacation's over, you go ahead and write your 2-week notice. You turn it in when you get back to work. Everyone's shocked. Everyone says, well, what happened? You said, well, this is what I get from God. You're ecstatic, right? So you turn it in. The kids are excited, your spouse is shocked. But the kids are excited to start this restaurant base. They want to work there. So next time you go to the bank, you apply for the loan, they deny you. They say, we're not quite sure about this return on investment. You said, okay, let me look at my savings. You said, well, there's nothing there. I just went to a European vacation. That didn't help,
yeah.
Right? So a couple of weeks later, you said, well, let me apply for a management position at one of the top restaurants in Nashville. Well, your 10 years of experience in finance that you just left really didn't help you with that scenario, that situation. So you didn't get the job. Your spouse is upset, anxious. Your kids start to act up at school because of all the stresses at home. You really start to deny, did I really hear from God? What's going on? You get divorce papers. You start to have suicidal thoughts. What can we do to change this scenario? There are two things we can do. If you can go to the next slide, that's investigate and interrogate, and then go to the next slide. So investigate, as you can see on the screen, means to study through systematic approach to facts to establish truth. Many of you may not know, but my husband and I started a DJ company about 10 years ago called Red Carpet Entertainment. So with that, in DJing, it's a pretty simple entry into that industry, right? You buy equipment, you get gigs, right? Pretty simple, right? So that's true if you're looking at short term, or maybe you're looking at it as a hobby. But we were looking at it for a long term approach. So what we did was created a business plan. If you could go to the next slide. So you're saying on a business plan, what, for a DJ? Yes, for a DJ company. Not only did we create a business plan, but we filled out every 7 sections of that business plan. From market analysis all the way to financial planning and projections. Why did you do that? I just want to make sure I quote this correctly. Because a business plan is a system, right? It's a systematic approach so that we could help us research the facts so we can gain confidence to establish truth that this would be a successful company. That's why we did it. So let's go back to our restaurant scenario. Let's do that. So what happens if we did a business plan before we went to the bank? They would have been ecstatic. Our ROI would have been high. Why? Because our aunt left us two fishing companies when she passed, and our uncle left us a shipping company when he passed. So we had cornered the market on the supplying factor. The bank would have immediately gave us a loan, right? All through a business plan, so you have to investigate. So the second one is interrogate. So if you go to our next slide, interrogate, as you can see on the slide, means to question formally and systematically the validity of things, people, and thoughts. So ironically, when Pastor asked me to do this, he didn't know. When I joined the greatest sorority ever, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Sorry, my friends. When I joined that, you get a line name, okay? That line name usually represents part of your personality. So many of you may not see, but my line name was Cross-Examiner. So I have a lot of experience in this. So with that, many of you don't know, but as Pastor mentioned, I'm a program manager, and I actually aspire to be in top management, all the way to the top. I know it's weird. Nobody really wants to do that, right? But about 2 or 3 years ago, in the back of BFF, our actual church down the street, God spoke to me and said, yes, you're going to be that top management. Not only are you going to be in top management, you're going to be an influential leader in the community. I said, who, me? Did you mean the person in the back? I said toward the back, too. So you mean the people who are sitting back to me? He was like, no. I immediately went into fear. Well, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I'll mess up someone's life. Why are you talking to me like that? I'm not quite sure. So I sat there, and I said, okay. I had already had an MBA in leadership. I had already had leadership positions. So I said, why not me? So I said yes to God. And he didn't give me that position that day, that week, that year. No time soon did he give me what he had promised me. But he put me in training. So for the next 2 to 3 years, I began to train. I began to ask questions, not of fear, but I began to ask questions as, what book can I read to continue to advance my leadership positions? What opportunities can I volunteer for to get exposure? How can I practice different techniques? So in this 2 to 3 years, my whole environment shifted. I could do the job. I could do the job 2 years ago. But it shifted from being timid to being totally confident that I can walk into there tomorrow. To be exact, I can walk in there Tuesday morning when we all go back to work. I can walk in there and say, yes, I can do this with confidence. Okay? So let's get back to our restaurant example. What if we had invoked the power of interrogation? We're in Paris. The food capital of the world. The food capital of the world. What if we had went to dinner that night and really questioned and said, hey, you know, how do you do your operations in this restaurant? Where do you get your food from? So we wanted to start a restaurant business. I forgot to mention that. We're starting a seafood business, seafood restaurant in the landlocked state of Tennessee. So if we had said, you know, and start to get that, and that's where the shipping and seafood came in. I didn't mention that. So we're starting a seafood business. If we had said that and really gained from that experience and started to invoke the power of interrogation and brought that back when we're getting ready to start our business, we could possibly have a niche market. You may say, well, Brooke, there's no seafood in Paris. There it goes on the screen. So we just went, and there's the phenomenal seafood in Paris. So as you think of going into 2018 on the next slide, just remember to really invoke these two power moves. One is investigate, okay? So whether that be a systematic approach, a business plan, have a system in place. The second one is interrogate. So bring out your inner cross-examiner and start to question. Start to question those things and question them in a positive way, okay? Thank you.
Let's give it up for Brooke. Coming to the stage now. We have Michael Scott. Let's receive him at this time.
Hello. I have no idea why I'm up here doing this. But it's going to be good, I hope. All right, I'm going to talk to you about investing and involving. Invest and involve, okay? We tend to think whenever we hear of the word investment, you automatically go to something that's monetary. You know, it's going to cost me some money to invest. It's going to cost me some money. So we tend to not do it, okay? But really, we invest in things all the time, every day in our everyday lives, right? Let me give you an example. It's January and your brakes are squeaking, right? And you go get your brakes done in April, okay? So they've gone from squeaking to gargling, acting a fool. But that's how we do as people, right? So that's not the investment, but what we do is we go to the car dealership or we go to a licensed mechanic to take our brakes because by April we've saved a few dollars, okay? And we've waited to April and the mechanic tells us, look, this is going to cost you about $750 to get your brakes done. We planned on about $200, so what do? We end up going to little buddy down the street. Hey, man, I bought some brake pads. Can you slap these on for me? And, of course, he's going to say, yeah, you know, this guy woke up with his mechanic outfit on, so he can fix cars. We all know this guy. Does anybody know this guy? Everybody knows this guy. So he does exactly what we ask him to do. He slaps some brakes on our car for $40. We're $160 to the good. All right? All right? So the investment part is a bad investment because you find yourself right back in the same position that you were in about the middle of May because you had brake pads, but now they're not working because your rotors were bad. And your brake shoes was bad and everything has gone wrong. That's an example of a bad investment that probably everybody in here has done, right? So, yeah, we invest all the time. So let's talk about it. Now, this definition of investment, this is Michael Scott 101. So if it's not correct, it's all right. All right, so to invest, you implement yourself or something that you treasure into an already established system. Okay, let me say it again. To invest, you implement yourself or something that you treasure into an already established system. Okay? Investment is not selfish. Okay? All right? So your investment is designed to benefit the system immediately. And it's designed to benefit you and your family in the future, in the long run. So you can't be selfish with your investment. You're not going to get this back immediately. Let me show you how this works. You go get you, it's 2018, you go get you a brand new job. It's the job of your lifetime. I've done that before and it sucks. But no, you get the job of the lifetime, okay? Now, whenever you land the job, the company is investing in you, okay? You're not investing in the company is investing in you. So whenever you land this job, you're the benefit to the company immediately because you are there to fulfill the job duties, the void that the company has had, okay? All right? Does that make sense? Now, for you, your benefit comes in the future. Yeah, they're going to pay you every week, but that's not the benefit. The benefit comes later down the line whenever you broaden your horizons, whenever you broaden your portfolio, whenever you make enough money that now I can invest into a 401k to help my family. This stuff happens on down the line, okay? That's how investments work. So that's just something that I want you to keep in mind, all right? Investments are not selfish, and they happen in the long run, but they benefit you tremendously at the end, all right? Next, we're going to talk about involvement. Somebody say involve. All right. Once implemented into a system, whether that's your job or your church or whatever this organization is, once you're implemented into a system, you utilize your talents to strengthen the system, not to change it. Whenever you become involved, you strengthen whatever it is you're becoming involved in. You're not there to change the system, all right? All right, in order to do this, to be an effective involver, to be effectively involved, you have to know how to connect. You heard the statement, the phrase, it's not about what you know, it's about who you know, right? People that are excellent at what they do on their job, they're always presented awards, they're always doing this, they're always doing this. Those people, the reason why they're so good at their job, they may be doing the exact same thing that you do, but they do a good job of connecting with the people that are around them, the people that are part of the system, okay? So whenever you do two things, whenever you connect with the people that are around you and you do a good job, you're known as a superstar or a savior within that organization. Now, you can do the exact same good job, but you don't connect with any of the people that are in the room, and you're immediately known as a joke or a jerk. Any jokes or jerks in here? I've been that dude before because I didn't connect with the people that I was around just because I wasn't very interested in the job, but that doesn't make any difference. You have to connect with the people beside you. Nudge somebody beside you. You just connected with them. All right. Now, understand this. Lastly, you have to understand the culture of what you are a part of, okay? You know what to do whenever you get on the job. That's why they hired you. You know what to do, but the real task is discovering how it is done where you are now, okay? I'll give you an example, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. Whenever I came to BFF, the church that I came from, I was a worship leader at that church. Me and this other songbird that goes to BFF. But we were worship leaders at this church, and it was completely, totally different from the culture of BFF. Now, my intent and purpose whenever I came to BFF was to come and be a church member. I didn't care to sing. I didn't care to do anything. I came to sit down in a seat and enjoy a fresh new church, right? BFF is fresh, right? I love it. All right. But the reason why I wanted to do that is just because, you know, I don't have to do this to enjoy God. That's what the way I was thinking. That's the way. But how many know whenever you have a gift or you have a talent to do something, whenever you join an organization, they want to pull that out of you, right? So it's easy for you to say, hey, whenever I join this group, I'm going to change everything about this. They want me because of this. They want me because of that. No, they want you because you're a magnet. You're able to pull things together. You're able to do things, okay? So whenever I brought my talent to BFF, initially I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to do that, but that's what I found myself doing. But before I could do any of that, I had to take a seat back. Because if I would have brought the tradition and all the things that I was used to from my other church to this church, first of all, it wouldn't have worked. Second of all, if I would have done that, I may as well have stayed where I was at, okay? So I'm saying that to us as a people, for us to understand whatever it is, whether you're at your church, whether you're on a new job, whether it's something in your family, whatever the case may be, take a step back. Understand the culture of where you are right now in that moment and adjust to that culture so that you can be involved and effectively involved, okay? So I hope that little Sunday school lesson taught you how to be effective in involvement and investment.
Amen. Right. Let's give it up for Tyler Sturban.
They had all the smart people go first, so you guys are stuck with me at the end. Honestly, though, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm feeling myself. Here's why. Listen. It's my birthday week this week. Right? You know how it's the week of your birthday? So your friend could get in a wreck and you say, well, I'm glad it's not wrecking up my birthday week. Right? So I'm feeling myself. I am. There's no issue. But here's why it's kind of different for me. I'm turning 25, all right? I know. But instead of turning up, I'm excited for my insurance to be turning down this year, right? Right? I'm not playing right now. This is my birthday week. You're not messing it up. But I was listening to Pastor Jay preach a couple months ago, and you said your priorities changed when you met Barbara. And then I started thinking, I remember when my priorities changed whenever I was 19, and I met my wife Ryan. Like the boy, she's not a boy, my wife Ryan. And so I got home, I got back from college, and I'm living with a couple guys, and you know, whenever, and if you're dating or if you remember this, when it's dry, it's dry, right? No one's hitting you up, no girls calling, no guys. So I'm like, man, I remember Ryan from school. So one of my buddies that I'm staying with, he's like, hey, man, hit her up. Hit Ryan up, ask her for ice cream. So I said, I'm cool with that. So this is when down in the DM, like, really, like, started for me. I get on Facebook. Instagram was really new, so I don't even know if I was on it. Facebook, though, for my grandma. So she was sending me Farmvilles when Farmville was big. So I hit Ryan with the message. Hey, Ma, I wanna take you to ice cream. In so many words, let's go to ice cream. Within 10 minutes, she responds, no, I have a boyfriend. Okay, so this is free. This has nothing to do with this. This is free, ladies. If you want a guy to be more involved with you, tell him no. I'm not playing with you. You want a guy to be more engaged? Tell him no. It's easy. Tell him no. So then I go back to my apartment. My buddies are there. They're doing something, whatever. They say, how was it? I'm discouraged. I'm hurt. They said, what happened? I said, man, she said no. She's got a boyfriend. They said, well, you're going to ask her again, right? No. But then I'm like, all right. So next day around lunch, I hit her. You don't go to ice cream. Second time's a charm. Get at me. Boom. You know what she says again? No. This is my wife. Hear me out. I'm going somewhere. So I get back to my apartment. Blake, Brady, Carrington, they're like, what's going on, man? I said, man, she said no again. They said, here. And ladies, you're not the only ones that plot. Guys do it low-key. All right, don't think like guys aren't plotting by themselves. Like when they're with their guys, they're not like, oh, well, here's what you can do. I'm telling you, they do it. So here's what happens. So they're like, all right, here's what you're gonna do. So we start getting this plan. Like they get plans together. They say, okay, you're gonna hit her at 12. If she doesn't respond by 1, you're gonna go ahead and get the ice cream and just take it to her work. You see me? Power moves 2018. So I send her a message. Nothing happens. So boom, I go get my two best friends, Ben, Jerry. I say, let's go. I get two spoons. And so I wrote, so I'm living in Madison area, Madison Rivergate area. She was working in a place called Rooms to Go, all right? Little did I know this was going to be the best spot. We were about to dine in a mansion because they got rooms. So boom, but they said, my friend said, hey, be a boss when you do it. Tell her manager she's going on lunch. So I did. But she's already said no twice. What more can she do, right? So boom, I walk in. Da, 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 da. Manager walks out. Sir, can I help you? Nah, she's going on lunch. And she said no. I didn't plan for this. She pulled a Peter and Jesus move on me. Denied me 3 times. So I said, no, she's going. I'm already here. My hands are cold. It's freezing my fingers. She's like, I don't even like Rocky Road. I said, I didn't know. You wouldn't even go out with me. But she's like, all right, I'll sit down. So then I'm like, well, which one you want to sit at, boo? All this is yours. Which one? We got a rug. I got you a rug, right? I'm telling you, so we sit in this living room. We're in this living room. We're doing our thing, man. We're eating. Probably 8 months later, we get married. All right. And now we have two beautiful girls. But here's kind of where I want to be at. Vision breeds intensity. If I never saw Ryan, I would never be passionate about her. I would never be intense about her. If you have something that you want, you've got to see that. You want a credit score over 700? See that credit score. You want a better marriage. If you want to be more involved in ministry. If you want a better relationship with God, you've got to see that first. Vision breeds that. But guess what? Remember at the beginning when I said she had a boyfriend? There can be multiple people intense and passionate about the same thing that you are. Listen, there can be. Do you know how many people want to start a business? Do you know how many people want to own a Subway? I want to own a Subway to make it $5 for a foot long. They've been telling me and they've been lying. About $6.49. God, jeez, power moves 2018, guys. I'm getting a $5 footlong in 2018. Jeez. Vision breeds intensity, but there are going to be more people intense about it. But there isn't going to be people working towards it. Initiative. Where vision breeds intensity, accountability breeds initiative. If I would have went back to my apartment with no dudes in there hyping me up to ask her again, I'm not married. With them saying, are you going to ask her again? Are you going to start your business? Are you going to pay off debt? Are you going to be at church? Are you going to do this? You've got to have people hyping you up. Or you're going to go after the first no, sit down and eat two Ben and Jerry's by yourself. And we ended up buying a bedroom suite from Rooms to Go because I wanted to make a power move. Jeez. I wasn't playing. Vision breeds intensity, seriously. You've got to see it today. What does that look like? And let me rephrase that. Not start a business, start a thriving business. Really think about future, like, man, have goals, have a vision, but then have someone with you. Why do you think people get investors? They've got something in it. They want to see you succeed. Have somebody there. And I've got a couple things that I'm out. 2 Thessalonians 3, read it. Verse 10, it says, those who are unwilling to eat or work will not eat. Those who are unwilling to work for something will not eat, period. One of my favorite quotes of all time, Thomas Edison. People miss out on success because it looks like a pair of overalls and work. I'm not playing. There will always be people that are excited about something. People do that all day long. The Titans. We get excited about stuff that... What about people moving you towards success? Have those people hyping you up and make power moves in 2018, man. Love you guys. Thank you.
Yes. Power moves. Stand to your feet all over the building. I intentionally overloaded you with information this morning because